Thank you. He has made me glad. You're glad? You're happy?
Yes.
On a day like this?
Yes.
It is March, isn't it? When I was growing up, we always had the winds in March. Do you remember? Warm, wet winters with westerly winds and mad March winds. But everything's different. Anyone not got one of these sheets? Anyone not got one? You've all got one. Good. We have just sung, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. If you were a Gentile, you couldn't sing that. When young Titus went up with Paul and Barnabas, Titus was a Greek. He was one of the first great converts in that church at Antioch. And he went up with Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. Been a fantastic experience for him. But if you look on the map on the back, the diagram, you can see there a diagram of the temple. You can see around the outside the court of the Gentiles. That's as far as Titus could go. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they could go into the court of the women. Well, quite often men went into there because that's where the temple treasury was. So to give your gift. And then they could go into the court of Israel, a very thin court there. The women couldn't go that far, sorry. Men could go that far, present their offerings. And then there was the court of the priests behind that. And of course, then you had the holy place in the front, which priests went to by lot, if you remember Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And then, of course, you had the most holy place. Only the high priest could go in there once a year. So Gentiles could not, even Christian Gentiles, could not enter those inner courts. You had to be, if you were a man, circumcised. If you weren't, you could be put to death. That's not very great unity, is it? You know, if you think about it, Paul and Barnabas were Christians, Jewish Christians. Titus was a Christian, Gentile Christians. But during the book of Acts, there were differences. If you remember, if you've ever read the book of Acts, there's always this big debate about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised or whether they should keep the law of Moses. Because the Jewish Christians, rightly so, still kept the law of Moses, kept the Sabbath day, kept circumcision, because they had to. If they didn't, those Jews who were not yet Christians would have nothing to do with them. Their words would have meant nothing. If they wanted to exalt Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, they had to have credibility in the eyes of their fellow Jews. And it's the same with us, isn't it? If you stop to think about it, if we are witnessing our place of work, we better be a good worker. You know, if we're witnessing amongst our, like I do, live in a village, I got to be a good neighbor because everybody knows what goes on in a village. You can hide in a town or a city. So, this is the oneness, the unity of all believers. It's made possible by what? It's made possible, as he says in Ephesians 1:13-14, and you Jewish Christians and you Gentile Christians, were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him, in Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So Paul opens this letter, which is written right at the end of the book of Acts, and he's going to say something's changed. Why is it changed? Because now we all have to recognize that we are all included in Christ. We have to recognize this. You Jewish Christians, you Gentile Christians, have to recognize you're included in Christ when you believe the gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the Spirit. Right. So, you recognize that. Now, whatever the differences there are between Southcote Family Church, St. Matthew's, and the URC, they pale into total insignificance compared to the differences there were between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in the book of Acts. And we've overcome a lot of our differences, haven't we? I remember being on the faith program on Radio Barks, and he said to me, all this churches together stuff, Mike, is nonsense, isn't it? Because you're always falling out and disagreeing. And I said to Paul, I said, if you'd said to that 60 years ago, when I lived in the valleys of Wales, you'd have been dead right. Because I went to chapel, you see. But those people who went to church, well, they weren't proper Christians. We even doubted if they were Christians. The divisions, well, no. I said to him, look, then we concentrated on our differences. Now we concentrate on what we have in common, which is Christ and all that he stands for. And even if you look at the whole of our theology, the different theologies they are, 90% of them are all the same anyway. There are differences. And I said to him, yeah, we discuss our differences now. Now, this subject of unity, I've made some podcasts about this, and you can see them there advertised. But I want to read to you now what Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. And then I'll comment on it afterwards. Is there water here?
Yes.
Cheers. Thank you. So, therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law of Moses with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the people of Israel. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you Gentile Christians are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, the Jewish Christians, and also members of his household, built on the foundation and of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So putting this in its context, this would have come like a bolt in the blue. A total bolt in the blue. I've often wondered how the Jewish Christians would have received it. The Gentile Christians would have been clapping their hands. But the Jewish Christians, who from Abraham's time onward had had this special position, this number one position. Even if you read the book of Romans and the book of Acts, the gospel had to be preached to the Jews first. The Jews receive the blessings first. What advantage is there in being circumcised? Much, says Paul. During the book of Acts, they were still the leaders. All the Christian leaders in the book of Acts were Jews. The apostles were, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Titus, in fact, becomes the first Gentile leader eventually. Quite amazing story, Titus's story. Anyway, Paul's trying to explain now there's been a change. What is that change? Okay, now remember, I'm going to talk to you Gentiles, I'm going to talk to you Jews. Listen carefully. Formerly you were Gentiles by birth. You were called the uncircumcised, a derogatory term often used by Jews of Gentiles, by those who call themselves the circumcised. But that's the circumcision done in the body by human hands. What does that mean? What's the significance of it? Anyway, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Any Gentile during the Old Testament and earlier times could have access to God and could enter the inner courts of the temple, but he had to keep the Sabbath day, he had to be circumcised, and then his offerings would be accepted. If he wouldn't keep the Sabbath day, if he wouldn't be circumcised, he could not go into the inner courts of the temple and his sacrifices would not be accepted. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Okay, so how's this being brought near? What's all this got to do with? Well, he goes on to explain, for Christ himself is our peace, and he's made the two groups, the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, one. Now, how on earth has God made this group of Christians called Jewish Christians and his Gentile Christians one? Just, you don't have to know much about the background of Jewish life to know Jewish life was so very different from the pagan Gentiles. The pagan Gentiles were a motley crew, dear oh me. Their lifestyle left a lot to be desired. If you think our society is immoral, gosh, go and look at... If you think our society is sexually immoral, go and look what happened in Corinth in Paul's day. It's absolutely unbelievable. Can't even talk about it, really. Shocking. You know, when those Christians at Antioch in Syria, the Jewish Christians went there and for some reason started to preach Christ. And a lot of these Greeks in Antioch believed. And when the news of this reached the Jewish Christians' leaders, Peter, James, John, and all those in Jerusalem, what's going on here? You know, when Peter went to Cornelius, one Gentile family, and he went back to Jerusalem, he got hauled over the coals and had to give an explanation of why he'd done it. Now you've got all these pagan Greeks believing in Jesus. So they send Barnabas to go and have a look. Go and sort it out, Barnabas. Come back and tell us what's happening. Right? Why did they send Barnabas? Well, he was from Cyprus up that way, and he probably had contacts there. And it's very interesting what it says in the book of Acts. When Barnabas got there and saw the grace of God and the lives, he was amazed. He saw how the grace of God had changed these pagans. I mean, I suppose if a Jew, Orthodox Jew, began to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, you might not have seen much of a difference in his lifestyle because he, you know, good moral, Ten Commandments, everything like that. But when a pagan Greek believed in Jesus, had the Holy Spirit inside him, and he wanted to change, wow, there was a change. And Barnabas saw it, and you could see it. It was absolutely incredible. So, Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and he's destroyed the barrier. What was the barrier? He's destroyed the dividing wall. What's the dividing wall? Of hostility. How's he destroyed this barrier, this dividing wall of hostility? By setting aside in his flesh the law of Moses. Wow. See, the whole debate in the book of Acts is whether the Jewish Christians insisted that the Gentile Christians be circumcised. Not all of them insisted it. A group called the circumcision group or the Judaizers insisted it. It was a big argument. The Jerusalem Council had to deal with it. But it went on, this debate about the law of Moses and circumcision. It goes on. And what happens? Paul said, I've had this revelation and the law has been set aside. Wow. Now, the law of Moses was in three parts. There was the civil law, if you like, about how Israel should be governed, how Israel should run themselves. Well, they hadn't been able to put that part in practice for a long time because they had been occupied the Romans. Before that, they had Antiochus Epiphanes, they had the Greeks, and before that, they had Babylonians. Before, God, dear oh me, they hadn't been able to run themselves properly for ages. It's like many people didn't think we could run ourselves properly when we were in the EU. We still can't run ourselves properly because you've got America to think of and the EU to think of and Russia to think of. Oh, dear oh me. No, right. They couldn't do it. They couldn't put the civil law into practice. The other part of the Jewish law was the moral law. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. That does not change. You can look at that throughout the law of Moses. You can look at it throughout the prophets. You can see it in our Lord's teaching. You can see it in the book of Acts. And you can see it in Paul's later letters. The moral teaching hardly changes at all. The third part was the ceremonial law. Circumcision. What you could and could not do on the Sabbath day. The offerings. The sacrifices. That is what caused the divisions. That is what caused the divisions in the book of Acts between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. That has been abolished. That was a barrier. Now, if you go back and look here, if you go back and look at this diagram again, that barrier is symbolized. If you see that inner building, which houses the court of the women, the court of Israel, the court of the priests and everything, that was surrounded by a wall. And on that wall, at various places, there were notices which said, any uncircumcised person that proceeds past this point will be responsible for their own death. And there's one of these in the Louvre, they've discovered, and one in the museum in Israel, Jerusalem, I think it is. Yes, they've discovered it. No Gentile could go past that. That was a barrier. So the barrier, in one sense, was the ceremonial law of Israel, and the barrier, in the other sense, is that wall there. The ceremonial law of Israel is set aside. And that barrier didn't last very long after Paul wrote these words. Because after about 7 years after he wrote these words in Ephesians, the Romans came in, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the inner court of the temple, and it was all done away with. The Samaritan woman said words to Jesus about, well, we worship on this mountain, you worship on that mountain, we worship in this temple, you worship in that temple. And what did the Lord say? A time is coming when people will not worship on your temple or worship on their temple. What people will do is worship in their hearts. It will be spiritual worship. Whether the Lord was thinking about this, probably he was. I don't know. But it's true. You know, it's true. So, what does he say? He himself, who is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, one. He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh, with its commandments, the law of Moses, with its commandments and regulations. When Paul wrote Ephesians, this passage, more or less at the same time, he wrote Colossians. And there's an interesting verse in Colossians which talks about you have been circumcised in Christ, not with a circumcision done by human hands, but with a circumcision done by Christ when he cut off your flesh, i.e. our sinful nature. Physical circumcision is irrelevant. Maybe sometimes it's done for health reasons, understandably, no problem for that. It has no spiritual value at all. We've all been, when we become a believer, so many things happen to us. We are sealed with the Spirit. Our old nature is circumcised. It's cut off. We are one new being, as we sung in one of our songs, in Christ. It's quite incredible, these rituals. So his purpose in doing this was to create in himself one humanity. He wants one. That's what he wants. He wants one. Now, we've written a book, and there's copies up there called Unity in Christ. And one of the things we point out in there, unity does not imply uniformity. In fact, uniformity would be bad for Christianity because people are different. What we want is to people to come to believe in Jesus, whatever they're like. It doesn't matter. We all have different likes in music. In Christian music, we have different likes. We like different translations of the Bible. I don't like the Message. Sorry. That's me, you know, but doesn't make me a worse Christian because I don't like, and you're a better Christian, but I don't make that, you know. You know, some people stand up to pray, some people kneel to pray, some people sit to pray. Does it matter? As long as you pray. I mean, that's the important thing. But we have these different traditions in our church, and we don't fall out about them now. We respect them. We are one. So what is it that his purpose was to create himself one humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. I disagree with that song. Why? Because we are bound together with cords that cannot be broken. Go and read what Paul says in Ephesians 4 about it. Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit is something that God has created. He's given it us. And it tells you in Ephesians, what you have to do is guard it. And we haven't been very good at guarding that unity of the Spirit. You know, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Spirit. We need to recognize that. And in one body to reconcile both of them, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Christ, on that cross, took all our sins, all our witnesses, and wiped the slate clean. I mean, all my prejudices. I am prejudiced over certain things. Don't like to admit it, but I am. Battle it. Less prejudiced than I used to be, but there you go. You know, he's taken it all away. We're all one. We may be different, but we are one. Oh, Christ came and preached peace to you who are far away, you Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the people of Israel, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We're all sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are one. And then he goes on and he gives another illustration. Consequently, as a result of all this, as a result of what I've just said, you Gentiles are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, the Jewish Christians. You're fellow citizens and members of his household. And if you go on in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he emphasizes it really, really strongly by saying, you're fellow heirs, fellow members of the body. And the Greek says this basically, you are equal members, equal sharers, and equal heirs in the body of Christ. It makes no difference. You Jewish Christians are no longer have priority. Now, as I said, I've often wondered how the Jewish Christians of that time reacted to this letter. But he's telling them, you are no longer have this special place that you've had since Abraham's day. Since Christ has come and died, and people are saved by grace through faith, and they're all sealed with the Spirit, you're all one, and you're all equal. So that's the situation. So, consequently, you Gentile Christians are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, the Jewish Christians, and also members of his household. We are members of God's household. Fantastic. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Everything is built on Christ. You can't have any other foundation than Christ. Paul says that in Corinthians. No man can lay any other foundation on Christ. How are you building? Are you building with gold, silver, precious stones? Or are you building with wood, hay, stubble? What are you doing? Well, without boasting, I use all six. There is a bit of gold, silver, and precious stones in there, but there is also still some wood, hay, and stubble. Anyway, that will be burnt up, and only the precious work that I've done for Christ will last. What you do for Christ will last. Our failures, our weaknesses, our prejudices, they're going to be destroyed. And so, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. This is the temple today. All believers are in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God's Spirit is inside us individually and he's inside us corporately. This is quite amazing. Not the temple in Samaria, not the temple in Jerusalem, this spiritual temple. We're all bricks in a temple. We're all being used by God in one way or another. This is absolutely fantastic. I'm lost for words. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, I do think about how perhaps some of these Jewish Christians may have felt a bit aggrieved that they'd lost their number one position. But I trust many of them, like Paul and Timothy and the others, were rejoicing that there was now no longer any division. It was obvious that your will was for all mankind who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ to be one in the Spirit, and we are. Help us guard that unity, Father. Help us respect each other's differences and help us consider others better than ourselves, because even though they may be different, that does not mean they're deficient or they're inferior. So we thank and praise you now in Christ's precious name. Amen.